Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries has a worldwide reach and an intimate impact on lives through the gracious provision of our omnipotent God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of his many blessings is the internet, and through it, anyone with access can be reached with his word. Today we begin our lesson with the gospel message. The opening moments of today's Bible lesson are dedicated to anyone who is listening, who has not made the single most important decision of this life, the decision to be in a relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't made that decision, either because it lacks importance to you, and for many of us, we're just too busy for this crap, or because you're confused by a religious upbringing, many of us are mad because of the things that our parents exposed us to, or because you're negative about the subject of God, you just don't have any time for it, don't want anything to do with it. For all of you, this message is for you. Because if you haven't made this decision, the Lord Jesus Christ would tell you that you are lost. Yet according to the Lord, being lost is good news, because everyone is born that way. So here's what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about you who are lost in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. He says this, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 sheep who are not lost in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Now, if you know anything about shepherds, shepherds don't ever leave sheep. So it's a huge deal for a shepherd to leave the 99 in the pasture to go look for the one who's lost. Luke 15, 5 and 6. "And when he's found the lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" God wants a relationship with you. If you are lost, the Lord is looking for you. He is a shepherd, and he loves to find lost sheep. And when you understand this truth, then you know how much the Lord wants a relationship with you, because you are his sheep. All of us are creatures. He is the creator. Well, you need to be found. Why? Because you were born condemned by sin. So according to the word of God, you were not only born physically alive, but you were also born spiritually dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says this, "For those in union with Adam at physical birth," and that is all of us, "those in union with Adam at physical birth are all set to die the second death in the lake of fire." There are a lot of people walking around today who think everything is fine for them. And their light can be turned off in a split second. They think everything's fine for them because they haven't bothered to find out that we are all born spiritually dead and we are all set to die the second death in the lake of fire. You were born condemned, separated from a relationship with God, in a state of total spiritual helplessness and in a state of utter hopelessness. It's not your fault that you were born condemned, spiritually dead, helpless, and hopeless, but it is your circumstance. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "For by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and spiritual death was the result of sin. So because of Adam's sin, spiritual death was passed to all men, for all creatures are considered by God to have sinned when Adam sinned." Now, we're talking about the sin, a nature that we have as a result of Adam, not just the personal sins. The personal sins are the product of that manufacturing plant. And when you're spiritually dead, you can't have a relationship with God. You cannot save yourself, and you cannot perform any works that would remove the barrier between yourself and God. That's a do-it-yourself program. And that's the first thing that human beings want to do when they realize there is a God. They want to do something to impress him so that he will like them. And that is quite impossible. Well, you'd be up the creek without a paddle if the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't solved your sin problem. And what did he do? The Lord offers you a relationship with him through his Father. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all creatures, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were spiritually dead as unbelievers, Christ died instead of us. See, we deserve to die. Those who have sinned, who have committed offenses against God, who have a nature of sin, deserve to die. But Jesus Christ stepped in and took our place. He died instead of us. And I ask you, would you offer salvation to your enemy? Hardly. Would you offer your child to die for your enemies? Hardly. But that's exactly what God did. He offered himself up to die for us. So the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be saved. Knowing that you would be in this pathetic state of spiritual death at birth, a just, righteous, and loving God, the Lord Jesus Christ, extended his all-powerful hand to offer you salvation. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. What a simple thing that is. What a simple thing it is to just reach out, take the hand of the sovereign God of the universe and believe so that you can be saved for all eternity. A small gesture which has eternal repercussions. Now, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God. I am the resurrection life, eternal life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. The Lord loves his imperfect creatures with a perfect love, a love willing to do everything to provide you with salvation. God is willing to do anything to save you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 say this, this is good and acceptable in the sight of the God who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires all men to be saved. No one who is in the lake of fire can ever say that God didn't want them to be saved. He absolutely wants you to be saved. There it is. He desires all men to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 repeats it, just in case you weren't listening. The Lord Jesus Christ is patient toward you and is not willing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, very different things you hear here than you hear in the religious churches around the world who are convincing you that you're a sinner and you're going to hell, but you can pay your way out. Take your wallet out for enough money, you can get out of it. Yeah, no, you can't. The Lord Jesus Christ is not willing, though. He's willing for you to be saved, but he is not willing to force you to believe. You have free will, and God honors it. So being saved is your choice. Well, how can you be saved? You can choose to be saved. And if you don't, you choose to remain condemned. John chapter 3, verse 36 says it succinctly. Whoever believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the resurrection life right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see eternal life in heaven, but instead the wrath of God, everlasting life in the lake of fire, abides on him. Being saved is a private decision. It's a one-time decision that only you can make. You have a choice. No one can force you. No one can convert you, and frankly, no one but the Lord cares that much about your conversion or your salvation. It sounds harsh, but it's hard for anyone to care about something he can't do anything about. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say this, by grace you have been saved through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's in the past. You've been saved with the result that it stands finished forever. And that grace, that faith, and that resulting salvation is not from the source of yourselves. It is a gift from God. So it is not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. No one is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in the future when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and say, you know why I'm saved? I did it. I did that. No, you didn't. It was a free gift, and you merely accepted it. That's it. You can be saved by expressing your faith, that faith that was a gift. And you don't do that blindly, because there is no such thing as blind faith. We always place our faith and the object of our faith after careful examination. And in this case, you're examining God's reconciliation offer, which you are hearing right this minute. And by the way, which you've heard a lot of times in your lifetime. And what is the reaction in your soul when you hear about this free gift? What is it? The reaction in your soul, ooh, I don't want to be anywhere near this. That reaction, or I don't know. Yeah, but what about all the little kids in the middle of Africa? Yeah. No, that's a reaction in your soul. And we want you to do the opposite of that. We want you to embrace this offer. Because a short conversation with God the Father results in your salvation. Your faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone is your ticket to eternal life. Faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the only way to salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Says this, there is salvation in no one else, and there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Buddha, not Allah, not Joseph Smith, not the Pope. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. No other institution that matters a bit. Just the name, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for a thief, being crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ, his salvation was a nine-word conversation. Luke chapter 23, verses 42 and 43. And one of the thieves on the cross next to Jesus was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to the repentant thief, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Nothing is easier than salvation. It's easy for you because it was hard for him. And when he laid down his life for you at the cross, he was making the ultimate sacrifice. And he had you personally in mind by name, just as he always has for billions and billions and billions of years. Now, once you have salvation, you cannot lose it. John 10:28 says, I give eternal life. To believers in Christ, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So, what if you don't want to be found? Well, it's your choice. Religion discourages you by telling you to work out your own salvation and to reject the free gift of salvation offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd probably want to believe that, because work for it sounds a lot better in this life than get it free. Yet there are consequences of a do-it-yourself salvation program. So what if you don't want to be found? Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life at the last judgment, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So if you're still in a state of condemnation at your physical death, because you rejected the reconciliation offer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says this, then the Lord Jesus Christ will also say to those on his left, all unbelieving creatures who rejected the reconciliation offer of salvation, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And when I hear these verses, Revelation 20:15. And Matthew 25:41, I see specific faces of people who have told me beyond a shadow of a doubt, they don't believe Jesus Christ is God, they will never believe that Jesus Christ is God, and they don't have the slightest idea why a person as wonderful as me would ever believe something as stupid as that. I see their faces. So believe me, this is real. This is not a joke. And these are not just words. lives. And, you know, the funny thing is there's no downside to believing in Christ. If you have this fatalistic view that when you die, you die. I've got a lot of friends who believe when you die, that's it. There's nothing else. Okay, if you die, you die, that's it. Then why not believe in Christ? Because if you're right, that's it. But if you're not right, believing in Christ is a nice insurance policy. But that's too logical. So if you're an unbeliever, the Lord would say to you, you're lost. And God is reaching out his hand right this minute to find you right at this moment. John chapter 3, verse 36. So it will be at the end of the age. The elect angels will come forth and take out the wicked, which is a term for unbelievers, from among the absolute righteous ones, believers in Christ. He will sort in two piles. And the elect angels, those are the believer angels, will throw all unbelievers into the lake of fire. And in that literal place, and don't you ever let anybody tell you that hell is a concept. It is not a concept. It is a literal place. And in that literal place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can spend eternity in the lake of fire, or you can spend eternity in relationship with the one and only eternal God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In your soul, what's your choice? Welcome to a place where you can learn how to be saved. So the opening song is Calling You to Freedom, sung by June Murphy. Is that your last name? June Late Freight Murphy.
Shackles, he feels your pain, he knows your secrets, your guilt and shame, he knows you're weary, tired and worn, your heart's been broken, your dreams are all gone. Freedom to serve. to praise Him, free to live His way, free from sin, slavery, free from the night, freedom to follow, free to bask in His light. He's calling you to freedom. Will you come? By faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, will you come?
Grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for sending your Son to take on a human body and then to die for each one of us so that we would be reconciled to a relationship with you. Thank you for letting the Lord Jesus Christ pay for every sin each of us would ever commit, past, present, future. Thank you for imputing those sins to Him and judging them once and for all time. Thank you for considering the Lord's sacrifice on the cross as the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins. Help us to know that you do not think of us with our sins in mind. Thank you for raising your Son from the dead to separate Him from all the pretender gods with a small g who allege to be equal with or superior to Him. Thank you for always forgiving us, no matter how horrible our errors. Remind us daily in the depth of our souls of the eternal power of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, are you excited for the apocalypse? Da-da-da-da! Da-da-da-da! The apocalypse is coming. You know, it's always funny to me when I talk to people about the end times. The rapture, and how fascinated people get is just as much fascination as when I talk about Satan. You know, I talk to you guys about Jesus Christ. You're yawning out there. I say something about Satan. Da-da-da! Ah, Satan. Yeah, well, are you excited about the apocalypse is my question. When you hear the word apocalypse, what is the picture that comes to your mind? All the video game boys go, oh, yeah, I've seen that, man. I create that every day in my little video game. Well, in the book of Revelation, which is the last and to the world the most mysterious book of the New Testament, the revelation that John receives is that the apocalypse is the ultimate victory of good over evil, and it is the end of the present age. Now, those of us who are believers in Christ know that that's not true. But the world sees the apocalypse as a prophetic revelation of the end times. As believers in Christ, we don't see the apocalypse that way at all. Well, how do we see the apocalypse? And why are we, as believers in Christ, so excited that the apocalypse is near? That's the subject of today's lesson. Let's begin the lesson with a few announcements. So the next deacons meeting is February 27th from 7:30 to 9 a.m. We had a fantastic deacons meeting yesterday. And next week in one of the lessons, I'll tell you some of the things we came up with and what we want to do for the year. But I'll just tell you briefly that I'm really shocked at how many ministries this small group of people, this small church has going, and how significant and effective they are. And so I'll share some of that with you next time. The Lord's Supper celebration will be on February 14th, 2016. That's Valentine's Day. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face teaching on March 6th, but there will be lessons posted. Happy birthday to Heather Luttermoser, January 27th. She said, you didn't forget. See, here's the thing. I don't really care about my birthday. So you know I don't care about anybody else's birthday. You know that, right? But here's the deal. If I have it in my notes from last year, then I bring it forward to my notes for this year. Well, you haven't been, your birthday hasn't been in my notes for 3 years, right? So sorry about that. But, you know, you did the right thing this year, sending all those, it's the 62 emails to remind me over about a two-day period. I find that that really works out. So keep that up. Yeah, okay, I'll remember that next year. It's pretty funny, though, that somebody would come all the way across the country from Michigan, drive about 32 hours just to hear their birthday thing. I'm just saying, I think that's a little extreme, don't you think? Can I get an amen on extreme? Amen. Can I get an amen on extreme? Yeah. Don't forget to download the Barah Ministries app. You can take the Word of God with you wherever you go. It's available at Google Play, the Windows App Store, or the iTunes Store, and it's also downloadable from the Barah Ministries website. Tell your friends about the app. It's never been easier to have the Word of God at your disposal all the time. When you're standing in front of Jesus, he said, boy, you had a phone, didn't you? Yes. You had that Barah Ministries app that you could have downloaded, didn't you? Yes. Okay, step to the left. But I believe in you. Okay, never mind, step to the right. So, yeah, by all means, download that app. Barah Ministries is back on the radio, KXEG, 1280 AM, The Trumpet, Sundays at noon. We've got a great slot right before Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. So lessons are posted online at the station's website and on the Barah Ministry site as well. And we're working with the station to get them to speed up the process of posting. So they'll be up there soon. Prayers, join me in prayer directed at all the intercessions and petitions of the people who are visiting the Barah Ministries prayer request group. And some sad news, Rosemary LaGrasso is at home face to face with the Lord. Sad for us, not sad for her, but she died yesterday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you remember that Rosemary is Tony LaGrasso's mom. So there's a picture of her with her granddaughter Olivia and her husband Sam. And so I would just let the LaGrasso family know that our love and prayers go out to you, Tony, to you and to your brothers and sisters and to your dad. And we thank the Lord in the midst of our grief for all the years of joy and happiness and struggle that we have as a result of the relationships in our lives, especially the relationships with our parents. And we pray for the Lord's comfort in our souls in this time of grief in the Barah Ministries family. It's tough to say goodbye to a wife and a mom and a friend, but we'll see Rosemary again soon. So our best to the LaGrasso family. Today's Bible lesson, are you excited for the apocalypse? Are you excited for the apocalypse? Let's continue our study of the third passage in Romans chapter 8. That extends from verse 18 to verse 25. And let's look at and listen to the passage together as we let the Word of God speak to our souls. Denny, do you have the music break song queued up? Because I didn't put a slide in for that, but I'll let you know when we're going to it. Okay? So Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. For I, Paul, know for a fact that the sufferings of this present time, both right now and throughout the church age, which is described as the present evil age, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed in us believers in Christ in the future. So this passage starts out with the theme of suffering, and I was thinking, boy, if we just deal with verse 18, we're done with it. But the theme of suffering continues all the way through the passage, as we'll see. So Romans 8:19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Nobody sees us as we are yet, but they will one day. Romans 8:20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Romans 8:21, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And the second lesson today, we'll take on that expression, the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Romans 8:23, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Even believers are groaning, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and for the redemption of our body. Our body is as yet unredeemed. And I don't have to tell you that, because you know that that body of yours has the flesh in it, and the flesh is out to get you. It's out to destroy you. Romans 8:24, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? Romans 8:25, but if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. So we've covered Romans chapter 8, verse 18 extensively. Let's remind ourselves again of that verse. I, Paul, know for a fact that the sufferings of this present time, both right now and throughout the church age, this present evil age, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us believers in Christ in the future. So what do we learn as a result of looking at that verse? We learned that suffering is a gauntlet in this life. Suffering is a gauntlet in this life. What is a gauntlet? A gauntlet is a walkway between two lines of enemy personnel. And once on the walkway, the enemy strikes us multiple times in multiple ways from the two sides as we travel that walkway. And the force of the strikes often devastate us, often knock us down. And we get up, and as we progress, God causes us to be edified by the experiences so that we can keep on enduring other more challenging experiences in the future. So, you know, if you Google gauntlet, what you'll see is a glove, so, because most of the references to gauntlet are gloves. But here's the best picture I could come up with for what a gauntlet looks like. Say again? Those are USC colors, I think. Those aren't Cardinal colors. But you can see that a gauntlet is a walkway, and then there are these things hitting the player on both sides. A lot of times, in football teams, they'll set up a human gauntlet, and what they'll do is, as a running back goes through the gauntlet, they'll try to strip him of the football. They'll try to rip his hand or rip his arm or move his arm and hand away from his body or hit with a helmet so that they can knock the ball out. It gives them practice for securing the football. But the gauntlet of our life is something where we enter the gauntlet from one side and we get the heck beat out of us. And see, here's the thing. Most of the time for us, the suffering is self-induced. Most of the time, we have a situation that we know absolutely right is not, absolutely truly is not right for us. And we say, okay, well, God's on my side, so it's going to work out for me. Yeah, it is going to work out for you. There is the other side, but you're going to get pounded. So why don't you just stay out of that spot? But we don't. So we enter the gauntlet from one side. We suffer our way through it, only to reach the glory on the other side. That's what our life is all about. That as we consistently go through suffering after suffering after suffering after suffering, we know that there is going to be life on the other side. Why? Because as we've said, this is the way we've said it in lessons in the past. We've said that in God's plan, death always precedes life. Death always precedes life. What does that mean? just as we move from suffering, death, to glory, life, at our we move from death to life. And as Christians, for example, we will close our eyes in this life one day at our physical death, and we will be personally escorted by the Lord Jesus Christ through our very own death-shadowed valley. See, death is not something that a Christian fears. How scary can it be when you close your eyes in this life and you feel a hand grabbing the hand of your soul and walking you into the eternal state? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be with you forever and ever and ever, and you'll be face to face with him forever and ever and ever. How scary is that? It isn't. What's scary is that you didn't pay your taxes, right? And somebody's got to pay them for you, and they're mad at you. So you know when they come up to heaven, the first thing they're going to do is punch you in your face for leaving them that tax bill. Amen? All right. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is our leader. The Lord is the shepherd. The Lord provides us spiritual nourishment, especially during our tough times." King David said this, and we've heard this, we hear this at every funeral, but we don't hear it the way it really is, and we don't hear it in the context in which it really belongs. Here's what it says, Psalm 23:1. "The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who keeps on shepherding me." Shepherding is a verb, not a noun. You've heard it, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who keeps on shepherding you. He keeps on shepherding you today, and he will keep on shepherding you through your death-shadowed valley. What does that mean, shepherding you? You're a sheep, he's the shepherd, he's going to walk you through the death-shadowed valley. And what do shepherds do for sheep? They protect them. So the Lord is our protector, and he is the provider of our spiritual restoration. Psalm 23:2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters," and makes me being the functional thing. Because sheep don't want to sit down. Sheep don't know when to sit down and when to stand up or when to eat. They're really dumb. And that's why the analogy of sheep is used for human beings, because we're really dumb. We don't know when to disconnect. We don't know when to just sit down and shut up and be cool and relax and just enjoy life. We're always looking for something to get ourselves into. And for sheep, that typically is the thorn bush. And a lot of times there are sheep that keep running into places that are dangerous for them. They'll run into a thorn bush and they like sitting in the thorn bush, and it just happens to be near a cliff. And one of these days, they're going to walk into that thorn bush, and they're going to fall off the cliff. So what the shepherd will do is break the sheep's leg so that they can't travel. And that's called casting a sheep. And some of our suffering sometime as human beings is the Lord just breaking our leg and saying, "Would you please just sit down someplace? You're going to hurt yourself. Would you please stop doing those stupid things over and over? Would you please just listen to me?" No. No, I'm not going to listen to you. Why? Because it might work. The Lord. What did you say, Susie? Let out a big sigh. The Lord provides spiritual guidance. He is our lifetime navigator. Psalm 23:3. "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Why the paths of righteousness? Because that's where it doesn't hurt. The Lord is armed, too, with a shepherd's weapons, the rod and the staff, to protect us from our enemies, even in the face of physical death. Death can be terrifying if not for the fact that the Lord is there. Psalm 23:4, "Even though I walk through my very own death-shadowed valley, I cannot fear. You with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And you can imagine what that's like. See, you know, I don't know why, but lately I've been thinking, I do know why. So I've been watching a lot of spy movies or spy things like Burn Notice and Narcos with Pablo Escobar. And, you know, I've been thinking about buying a case of C4. You know, it's an explosive, and learning how to detonate C4. You know, because you watch the wrong thing enough times, you start wanting to do it. So I want to do that. The first thing I would do is put one under your seat, Doug. I put a little block of C4 under your seat with a little detonator, and I have the switch right here. Put that phone down. I say, put that Kool-Aid down, you know, and if you didn't, you know, it would just be horrible. But it's a directed charge, not one that was spread out. You know what I mean? Can I get an amen? Yeah. So anyway, but one of the things that you start thinking when you have situations like when you're watching movies and stuff like this is that, you know, I could get in my car today and end up in an accident. You know, you can get hurt. You get up in the morning, you don't know what's going to happen to you that day. You could get hurt. And that's a wicked thought. You know, you could get hurt. Like, things do happen to people. You know, like, you're driving along, everything's fine, you just reach over to pick up a slice of apple, and then a truck is in front of you with these poles on it, and the pole slips off and goes right into your window and right into your head. That stuff happens, really. And it probably would have happened to me already if it were not for the fact that my God is protecting me from things like that. And so you just sit and think how fragile this life is, how precious it is. You get a phone call and you hear that one of your friends is going into hospice care. And you know what that means when somebody's going into hospice. Well, June knows what it means, right? She works with it. As a matter of fact, June got a job with hospice. The first thing she does is give me a business card. I don't even know what that means, right? I don't even know what that means. Just, hey, if you have any need for this service, what are you talking about? Call me in 30 years. I don't have a need for that service. Nobody want that service. But you think about it. You get a phone call. That's just wrong. But you get a phone call, and you find out that a friend of yours is in hospice care, and you think, what are you doing in hospice care at 60 years old? You're not supposed to die that young. And I remember this guy 5 years ago. I remember talking to him about a relationship with the Lord. He had zero interest in it. Zero interest in it. I wonder what his attitude is toward it now. And he had the opportunity. He's got a friend who is a pastor who's willing to talk to him about God anytime, who's willing to invite him to a relationship, who actually knows how to invite him to a relationship anytime. We have people around us all the time inviting us to do the right thing. We're busy. With what? What exactly are we busy with? We're too busy for our Creator? Seriously. Because, you know what, I just don't know what it is that's so special about what it is that's going on in this world. Because I tell you what, if I had the choice to sit down and write a Bible lesson or watch Narcos, I'm going to write the Bible lesson. This is infinitely more interesting. How interesting is it to sit and watch somebody who smokes, and, you know, it's bad enough when you smoke, but then you smoke, and then after you take that puff, you kind of suck it a little deeper into your lungs. Wow. I mean, let's get it done faster. Let's get that death done faster. Seriously. How fun is it to watch that? How fun is it to know that this guy is going to die at 44 years old? He was the 10th, Pablo Escobar, 10th wealthiest man in the world, but he died at 44, a violent death. I don't want that. Take the whole world and give up your soul? I don't want that. You? Yeah, these are the serious choices that we have sitting right in front of our faces. It's important. Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones, and his godly ones are believers in Christ. You know, the LaGrasso family can take comfort in that verse. Because what happened yesterday, painful for you guys, but precious in the sight of the Lord, that he could go and escort Rosemary hand in hand into eternity. And we will see her again. Let's take a music break, and then we'll continue our move through verse 18 into verse 19 and see what we learned last week about the anxious longing. Take a 5-minute break.
Down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why? Care. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 I've been here a million times, a couple of million nights. Just moving past me by, I swear I never thought that I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance, so give me a second chance to see the way you've seen the people all along. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your heart for the broken hearted, yeah. Give me your heart, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Welcome back. What's the name of today's lesson? Are you excited about the apocalypse? Is that what it is? awesome. Well, as a result of our study, especially verse 18, this passage that begins in verse 18 of Romans 8, our wires are uncrossed. And we now realize that suffering is normal. And we realize that the absence of suffering is a short break before we go back into the spiritual gymnasium for more suffering. Because suffering always produces its perfect result, which is endurance. And we get so toughened by it that we can handle anything. Our attitude when we are suffering must be, isn't joy going to follow right soon? And the answer is an absolute yes. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says this, when Christ, who is our resurrection life, is revealed, then you believers in Christ will also be revealed with him in glory. Apocalypsis. You will be revealed. That's what an apocalypse is. It's a revealing. It's a removal of a covering, a removal of a veil. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. As believers in Christ, we are waiting for the apocalypse, and we are anxious for it. We wait with excitement in our hearts because we know what an apocalypse is. Here's the definition. It's from the Greek word apocalypsis, and it is the removal of a covering. It is a revealing. It is a removal of a veil. The hypocrites will be hypocrites no longer. We are hypocrites right now. We talk from behind a mask. We are phonies. But when the revealing happens, we will be as we really are, and we will be that way from now on. The glory in you is not yet manifested. It is not clearly visible to those around you. That's what manifest means. Right now, no one sees you as you are. No one sees you as a son of God. No one sees you as an adopted adult son of God. No one sees you as a child of God. No one sees you as an heir of God. They see you for your faults. We aren't our faults. We aren't our mistakes. And the biggest culprit who looks at you that way is you. And you're missing it. Because you are not that. You were that. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, past tense. But you have died to Christ, and you live to righteousness. You're not the same person you were before you believed in Christ. And you want to be. You want to be. You've created an image for yourself that you like living, and you want everybody to believe that you're that image. Because let's face it, if you changed, everybody else around you would be disturbed. They'd have to change too. They don't want to change, so they keep putting you in the little box. And you say, okay, thank you. I'll go back in the little box. But that's not actually what's happening. On the inside, God is changing you. And the things that I felt 20 years ago, I don't feel anymore. The things that bothered me 20 years ago don't bother me today. And that is not my fault. God has changed me about those matters. Why? Because the apocalypse continues to occur. The covering is being removed. And so we have a lot to look forward to as believers in Christ. But for now, we groan. You know, one day people are going to be shocked when they find out who you really are. Because they had you in a box. And they're going to find out that you aren't anything like what they thought you were. But for now, we groan. And the next two verses tell us why. Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility. By whom? Who would do that to us? Answer me. Who subjected us to futility? That is a passive. No, God. God subjected you to futility. The creation was subjected to futility. And how do you know it was God? Not willingly. See, none of us want to be subjected to futility willingly. Because of him who subjected it in hope. Romans 8:21, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. There's the gauntlet, the slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's what we have to look forward to, another gauntlet. And in the next lesson, we'll see how the gauntlet of futility results in the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So when the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. There's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 2:9, the Lord has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and through the grace which was granted to us who are in union with Christ Jesus from all eternity. The closing song is The Voice of Truth.
Have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat of men, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
The voice of truth that tells me a different story. afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe. I will listen and
pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God, and we thank you for giving us a different set of expectations than the world has. Thank you for helping us to know that the apocalypse is something that we welcome, that we welcome the shedding of this earthly body, we welcome the shedding of the coverings that obscure who we really are in union with your Son. We just ask you to remind us over and over and over again to think with the eyes of our soul and to think in the light of eternity and to remember how special we are to you and what a special future you have planned for us. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.